The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, sports360az.com. Hope you're having a great day on azcentral.com now as well, as we continue to grow this brand by leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. We appreciate the partnership now with azcentral.com, as well as what we do here on a daily basis. AZ Sports 360. It's stuff that we see that's Arizona-centric, high school, college, pros, not in any particular order. We go a little deeper, bring you some stories, some videos, some things that just aren't out there in media, and I appreciate the partnership with AZ Central and as we continue to move this product forward. Masahiro Tanaka is not coming to the Diamondbacks. Let's start that off right off the top. We'll get into that here shortly. Jake Plummer is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk with Jake about the Broncos. He's up in Denver. And this whole, there's a storyline of, would Peyton Manning consider retiring if the Broncos were able to win the Super Bowl like John Elway did? And we'll get a breakdown of the Broncos and Seahawks from Jake Plummer, who's always outspoken. I'm sure he has some thoughts on Richard Sherman. So visit with Jake on that. Pedro Gomez is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, ESPN baseball analyst, Valley resident. Again, Arizona-centric. That's what we're all about. So Pedro comes on with us quite often here on the show. And we'll visit with Pedro about Tanaka and what happened there. Working on a couple of other people as well on a day like today where you have big breaking news. You never know who may show up. Our senior executive vice president of nothing or everything. Because all you guys in companies, all you big cigars, you give somebody a title and they don't do anything. That's the big. That's the senior executive vice president of nothing. Some days Eric is that. Just like some days I'm the biggest stiff on our staff. But Eric, more often than not, a senior executive vice president of everything. So
we try hard on these Facebook questions of the day, too.
What is the Facebook question of the day?
Today, no surprise, as you mentioned, Japanese ace Masahiro Tanaka is a Yankee.
Yeah.
So we ask you your initial reaction upon hearing Tanaka, who the Diamondbacks coveted, signing a 7-year, $155 million deal with New York, was...
For me, it was, I'm not surprised. I'm glad the Diamondbacks gave it an effort because it was a legitimate effort. This was not one of those, hey fans, you know, we're going to try to get involved in this. That was not the case. I am fully confident of that. I wrote something at 12:30 this morning about how they were still in the midst of it, in the middle of it. And as these things happen, the Yankees just walked in there, from my understanding, and said, here's $155 million. Now, the last time that we had gone through the numbers, it was just over $100 million for the Diamondbacks.
Right.
Regardless, it was the biggest contract in the history of the Diamondbacks organization, from my understanding.
For me, it was, Brad, good effort by the Diamondbacks. They didn't get him, but thank God he didn't go to the Dodgers, because if he went to the Dodgers with Kershaw and Tanaka, everyone else in the NL West would basically just be playing for the wild card. So.
Which isn't that bad of a thing.
No, and that still could be the case this year for all we know.
And I'll get more into the Diamondbacks because I've got a lot of thoughts on what happened today with Tanaka going to the Yankees. That obviously is the overriding story going on in the world of sports. Let's get you caught up there. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. You head on up to Pine Top. Beautiful facilities up there just outside of Pine Top. Look at the Sunrise Ski Resort. Get some snow up there to fall a little bit more. So the winter games next month, you're able to see the sled dog racing and the mutt contest up there, the mountain mutt that they're going to have, and all the fun around the winter games. That's next month. For now, though, the Super Bowl is coming up. So you're going to have your plans at the Honda Resort and Casino. Head on up there, pull down the slots, stay there over the weekend, have some great fun, or during the week, swing on in. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. So let's get into this a little bit further with Tanaka. My understanding is the Diamondbacks met with Tanaka in person a couple of weeks ago. No economics were discussed. But this was about the Yankees being able to move forward. Here is Ken Rosenthal, who does a terrific job, on the MLB Network, Ken Rosenthal breaking the Tanaka news on MLB Network this morning.
All right, the Tanaka deal is done.
Whoa.
He is going to the Yankees.
Whoa.
7 years, $155 million, and there is an opt-out after the fourth year.
Okay, so here's Harold Reynolds, baseball analyst, MLB Network, on Tanaka. Harold Reynolds' view on this one.
Well, what got me going to the Yankees the other day was when we had Andrew Jones on. And Andrew said his advice would be, and he got to be pretty tight with Tanaka playing in Japan, would be to go somewhere where you have another Japanese player. Remember he said, I'd like to see him go where they have another Japanese established player that can kind of bring him along. Well, you have Ichiro. I mean, who else better to kind of take you to, I did it when I was younger, I was an MVP, I was an all-star, let me take you through it. And I think that had a big part of it. I also think that Casey Close being Derek Jeter's agent didn't hurt.
Yeah, so there's angles there that make sense. The Diamondbacks, what do the Diamondbacks have to sell on this? They had, look, you can come to this market and the glare of New York or the glare of Los Angeles isn't going to be there on you here. You'll be our number one guy. That all well works well and good, but when somebody comes in and offers $50 million more, what do you think is going to happen? Buster Olney from ESPN, he weighed in on Tanaka.
When you talk to some of his teammates from Japan, Casey McGee, who played with him last year, he'll tell you stories about what a gamer he is. Guys, in Game 6 of the Japan Series last fall on November 2nd, he threw 160 pitches. The next day, he came into the clubhouse, and McGee was watching him prepare, and he thought, this guy thinks he's going to pitch tonight, and he did, in relief.
Who does Tanaka compare to ESPN's Buster Olney?
Kurt Schilling said to me the other day that, you know, and he didn't mean this egotistically, he said he kind of reminds me of myself, and I think he's right based on what I've heard from scouts. He's got an excellent fastball, 92 to 97 miles per hour, and an outstanding splitter. He's unlike Yu Darvish and Matsuzaki. He's more of a two-pitch pitcher.
Okay, so now that he's gone, Pedro Gomez is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, ESPN's baseball analyst, Pedro Gomez. That'll be at the bottom of the hour. What do the Diamondbacks do now? Because you can go after Matt Garza or Baldo Jimenez or Bronson Arroyo. There's a bunch of guys' names I can throw out at you. And look, if it's a one-year contract, a one-year deal, I'm fine with. But this tying money up in those guys who are just, in my opinion, guys, are they going to push you over the top? Here's another way to look at it. Now that the Cubs didn't get Tanaka, and now that the White Sox didn't get Tanaka, or the Dodgers, all the teams that didn't get Tanaka, what direction are they going to go? And do those organizations have some pitchers that are going to be free agents a year from now? Players that you look at and say, you know, let's see if we can get this guy to come over to us now because you lost out on Tanaka. You're heading nowhere fast this year. I think as Eric said earlier, with a wild card in play, I think the Diamondbacks are a wild card team. They're not going to beat the Dodgers this year unless there's just a ton of injuries. So what the Diamondbacks do next, I'll give them full credit for going down this path, and they got blown out of the water by the Yankees. Happens. You're not going to compete here in Phoenix, here in Arizona, on a $155 million deal. But you can go out and now make a big mistake. You can go out now and sign somebody that and sign them to a deal beyond 1 year that's a bad move. Versus you start out the season and you see where you are. You see what comes along, and you don't shed any tears over Tanaka going over to the American League. So, you know, this is over with. It's unfortunate, but they gave it a good push. They really did. The Suns tonight have a very interesting game. They play Indiana. The Pacers have won 13 of 15. The Pacers almost beat Miami last year. Some people think Indiana's better this year. Paul George is an MVP candidate that nobody talks about. This is a litmus test tonight for the Phoenix Suns here in our own backyard. These are one of the few regular season NBA games that I'm looking forward to. I've seen enough of Memphis. I don't want to see Memphis or Minnesota or all these garbage teams. I want to see a team like Indiana. I like watching Roy Hibbert. I go right down the roster of all the players that Indiana has, and I like them. They're a bunch of dirt workers. They're going to get out there and get into people. So this will be a good test for the Suns tonight. I think the Suns are just sort of keeping their head above water with Bledsoe. That's where they are right now. If things start to go a different direction and the trade deadline is next month, obviously they have some parts that they could move. But for now, tonight, Pacers winning 13-15. We'll see how that game works out. Looking forward to that. The Coyotes play at Calgary tonight, Pacific Division rivalry game. And Arizona State football. This story is pretty significant. Jason Jewell, scout.com, part of what we do here on sports360az.com, is recruiting. Jason with Scout reported late last night that Quaylen Cunningham, star defensive lineman from Texas, from Hamilton High School, visiting Arizona State this coming weekend. You can read that story over on sports360az.com. On the other side, Jake Plummer, former Sun Devil quarterback, former Bronco, Cardinal, on the NFL. Now the Super Bowl is set. His thoughts on Richard Sherman, much more. Jake's always candid. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ, now on AZ Central Sports as well, as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds. White Mountain Radio on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Jake Plummer joins us as we move away from Tanaka going to the Yankees to the Super Bowl. Always good to catch up with the former Sun Devil legend, Cardinal Bronco quarterback. You're in Boulder today, I'm assuming?
No, actually up in North Idaho, Brad. Came up to see some family, and my dad had a birthday, and my nephew Declan, and sister-in-law, and we try to make it up here in the winter. It's kind of peaceful out here on the lake.
Cool. You go sit up in a tree like you used to? You have a tree stand up there?
Yeah, these trees down here, a lot of them, there's not many limbs on the lower part, so I haven't gotten the shimmy up the tree thing down, but we go hiking up through the forest every day with the kids and kind of just take in nature. It's nice. Like I said, it's really peaceful and quiet out here. There's no one out here right now, so it's nice little getaway from the city.
Before you left, what was Denver, Boulder like around Bronco Mania?
Well, you know, I went to the game against San Diego, and you know, it was pretty awesome. Just the big win for them at home. But leaving before I left, you know, everybody was really excited. Obviously, looking forward to Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, the 15th matchup and AFC Championship game, and the fans there are really hungry. They're excited. They were excited to get a chance to go back. And now that it's happened, I know that I had some family that went to the game, and they were just ecstatic. Everyone else around them, everybody was just kind of going crazy. It's a big, big win for them to get to the Super Bowl, and I think that they feel their chances are really great. And it's amazing that they've made it that far from the preseason favorite to actually getting there. That's very hard to do, and for them to have done it through all the adversity and some injuries they've had, it's a real testament to that team, and I think they're going to take full advantage of it come a couple weekends from now.
I remember having you on in August, and you were doing something for the Broncos at their camp. So I go back to that time in training camp and to where they are now, and you said something interesting there just a short time ago, that trying to make it through with injuries and all that. Have they performed about what you thought that they would to get to this point, or have they exceeded what you thought when you were there watching them in training camp?
It's hard to get a feel in training camp, but I know just from, you know, the addition of Wes Welker and some emerging guys like Julius Thomas that's really come on strong, Monte Ball, who was drafted. You know, those guys look pretty raw in camp, but as the season's gone on and they've continued to learn and get better and obviously get more time working with the genius himself, Peyton Manning, those guys are all getting better every day. You see it in Demaryius Thomas and Decker in that whole offense. The O-line, really, the shuffling they've done in the front five there and moving guys around, and they've played exceptionally well. And the defense, too. You know, Champ went down for most of the season early in the year. They had Von Miller suspended, then they lose him. And they really haven't, I mean, you miss a guy like that, but they haven't missed a beat intensity-wise and playing for each other. And that's just a great team, you know. And mm-hmm. I saw that in camp. Obviously, you have to be a good team in camp to get through it and have the aspirations and the goals they had. And it's really, it's been a fun season to watch. I've been to a few games, and I'll be at the Super Bowl. And I'll be rooting for the Broncos inside, but, you know, really want to see just a really close game. I want to see a competitive, exciting game that comes down to, you know, the last play, which, you know, last year was awesome. San Fran and the Ravens came down to really the end of the game to see who was going to win it. So if they can do anything like that, that'd be pretty awesome.
Jake Plummer with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. So if you think of the adversity and teams, every team has to go through peaks and valleys during the course of a season. The Von Miller suspension, John Fox's health. At any time, Jake, did you get a sense that, boy, this thing may come off the tracks, or because 18 was there, there was never a chance that that was going to happen?
Well, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned John Fox going down with the heart attack and being out of the mix for a few games. You know, Jack Del Rio is a great coach. He's been a head coach. He was able to take over and didn't come in, you know, try to change a philosophy. He just came in and coached the team how he'd been coached by John Fox. And, you know, they have a great staff, a lot of great coaches, and then they have one of the greatest coaches and players ever, which is Peyton Manning. You know, he's on the field. He's one of the greatest players ever, but he's also one of the greatest football minds in the game, let alone player and coaches. I think he's just so smart, gets guys in the right position. And, you know, they remain focused, which was huge for them through that adversity and through everything. It brings a team closer together. They suffered a couple tough losses, but I think the ones they lost at the right time when they needed it to kind of get them refocused and expose maybe a weakness or two and go back to the drawing board and figure out how to, you know, avoid getting exposed like that again. And they're just a real strong team right now. But I think more than anything, the two leaders on that team, Peyton Manning and Champ Bailey, they're very hungry. Peyton's been there. He's won one. But Champ Bailey's never been to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it'd be nice to see him. I'm real happy they're going for him. I'd really like to see him get a ring. He's one of the, not only the greatest cover corners in the game, but just a great guy, a great teammate, and one of the best football players I've ever been around. You know, he's well-deserving for that, to get that ring. So hopefully, like I said, inside I'll be pulling for those guys. Yet I just love Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, and I like the way they, their mojo and their confidence, and just that team has a swagger that's fun to see. And, you know, like I said, if it's a close game, I'll be happy whoever wins.
One other question on the Broncos, Jake, and that is, we can look at all the offensive weapons in the passing attack, but no Sean Marino was a guy that was injured on the scrap heap. Was he going to make it or not? They draft Monte Ball. He's gotten better as the season has come along. If you're looking just at the running attack of the Broncos from where they were in camp or even early in the season to where they are now, what's the difference? What's gone right? Is it the line? Is it Manning getting into these guys? Because all of a sudden, no Sean is a factor.
Well, I think Noshon went through a lot, obviously being a first-round pick, having a decent start to his career, then battling injuries for a couple years, being demoted so far down as scout team.
Right.
And, you know, from what I understand and what I read and hear is that when he was on scout team, he wasn't pouting, he wasn't upset. He went out and worked even harder. And sometimes that's a way for a young player to get refocused, to kind of had everything put out in front of him, like, hey, look, you're going to be gone if you don't find a way to work and make it happen. And he's definitely turned his game around. When he runs the ball, the beast in Seattle is pretty awesome, but no Sean Marino runs it just as hard, if not harder. And right now, I think, you know, he didn't get used the whole, he got used enough in that game against New England, but, you know, the weather could be a factor, and both these teams have great ground games. No Sean, I've been real impressed with. Monte Ball's come along. I think he reminds me of Terrell Davis, but a little bit bigger. He had problems with the ball, taking care of the ball early in the year. And, you know, they experimented with Ronnie Hillman and some other things. And I think once the season kind of progressed, they found who their workhorse was going to be. That's No Sean Marino, and having Monte Ball kind of focus in on taking care of the rock, not turning it over. You know, they got two great running backs there, and it's, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the Super Bowl, because it's outdoors, which I love. The weather could be a factor, which I love, and you don't know what's going to happen. Peyton's going to be just fine in the cold. I know everyone's worried about that. But you got two great teams that can run the ball and produce points and really make things happen. It could come down to the fact that Russell Wilson can move in the pocket, you know, where Peyton is kind of stuck back there. Russell Wilson can make those off-the-cuff plays that could end up being a big, big turning point in the game. But like I said, regardless, it's going to be fun to watch both these teams play and see how they approach this big game.
Are you a fan of Richard Sherman? I'm a fan of Richard Sherman. I have to be straight up. I'm a fan of his because he can play.
Yeah.
And Demaryius Thomas, Richard Sherman, that's great drama, great theater on Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, you know what? The thing about Richard Sherman and what, you know, people kind of maybe not understand, the fan or the normal person watching that maybe was upset by that. When you're caught up in the moment, a moment that big and that grand on that big of a scale, that you just made the play of your life to send your team, hope, send your team to the Super Bowl, you're passionate, and if you're a passionate guy, you know, you're not going to sit and, you know, be ready to thank and congratulate and say all the right things. And whatever was going on, we don't know what was being said out there. Michael Crabtree might have said some really, really nasty stuff to him on the field. And, you know, when you air your laundry out in public, all you do is let everybody see it and everybody knows. And so now the pressure's on him. But he continually steps up, and as a football player and a quarterback, I would love to have him on the other side of the ball, because one thing, on game days, you know he's coming to play, but during practice, he's the kind of guy that's going to make me a better quarterback just because of the approach he has for the game. You know, he said some crazy stuff. He did something that we rarely see, and, you know, we've lauded other athletes in the past. You know, Muhammad Ali, for one, who became a world-renowned athlete. Everybody knows Muhammad Ali because of statements like that. Now, this guy's some bad guy with no class. I mean, hey, he's an athlete. He's a performer. I love it. I loved it every minute of it. He made an amazing football play, and he should be proud of it.
You ever lose your mind after a game, Jake?
Oh, man, there's plenty of times where I was flying around, and the losses were the toughest. But,
yeah,
you know, in wins and you know, things that go on, you know, you're caught in the moment of this humongous moment where it's heated and competitive, and there's fans screaming, and you know, it's kind of it's bound to happen. Some guys can control it, but you know, I love that he was just caught up in the moment, and the moment was a grand moment in his life, and he's been through a lot. I guarantee you, there's for every 5,000 people that can't stand Richard Sherman, there's 5,000 kids growing up in Compton that want to be just like him. And that's awesome. He's going to aspire, you know, those kids are going to aspire to be him and to know what he went through and know that it took a lot of hard work and sacrifice. And at that point in his life as a pro, he's got, you know, the stage to say whatever he wants. He can choose to say the classy thing, or he can say what he feels like. And he's a DB, man. DB's got to have that attitude.
Yep.
No one can stop him, and he has it for sure.
DBs and wide receivers. That's where the attitude
yep.
is. That's just the way it is. Hey, before I let you go, so what is Jake Plummer's Super Bowl week look like? I mean, how many parties, how many events? What are you doing at Super Bowl week?
I fly out on Tuesday and just kind of get there, get my feet on the ground. I have an event, Tazone. It's called Tazone Latino with Verizon. It's a skills challenge. So that'll be on Wednesday. And then my brothers and my best friend get there Wednesday night. And you know, the party thing, sometimes, you know, we go to a party or two, but some of those parties, it's just a big huge room packed full of people that want to be at a party where they can see P. Diddy or see somebody that's famous. You know, New York City is going to have so much to offer other than those big parties. I mean, in New Orleans last year, we hung out on Bourbon Street and danced to live music and walked up and down the street and talked with the locals that were out and just had a great time. So more than going to the big parties where you got to dress up and be who's who and see who's who and all that, I like to just kind of be around the fans and get a vibe for what's going on you know, outside of those big parties. But we might go to a couple. Got a few other appearances, and then, you know, obviously the game day is going to be a blast. It's a different situation. You got to take public transit to the game, and you know, it's going to be outdoors. Who knows what the weather will be like? There's a lot of things in the air that are adding some major excitement and anticipation for what the week lies ahead.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Stay in touch. Have a great Super Bowl.
Hey, thanks, Brad. You guys take it easy down there.
You got it, pal. It's Jake Plummer for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with Jake going to the Super Bowl. Really good stuff there on Richard Sherman. Really, really good stuff. And I agree with most everything that he said on that front. On the other side, Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, joins us next. Tanaka goes to the Yankees. It's done if you're just checking us out on Sports 360 AZ or on azcentral.com or on White Mountain Radio or on Twitter, all the places that we are. It's done. The Diamondbacks, where did they come up short and what do they do next? That's with Pedro Gomez on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So Tanaka goes to the Yankees. ESPN's Pedro Gomez, Valley resident, joins us for a couple of minutes with Brad Susmat. And your reaction when you heard the news this morning?
I think my reaction was the Yankees realize they're in a desperate situation, and so they just blew everybody out of the water with their offer.
And it was like $35 million more? Is that what you're hearing? That's what I'm hearing.
I'm hearing somewhere, somewhere in the 30 to 40 range, somewhere in there, but it was evident that they know their weakness is their rotation. It was their weakness last year. CC Sabathia did not have the type of year that he is given them in previous seasons. Hiroki Kuroda was probably their best pitcher, but, you know, he is, and they did re-sign him, but he is in his late 30s. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what you're going to get. And boy, he really wore down as the season went on. Ivan Nova, you don't know what you're going to get from start to start. I think they felt the need to be able to try to compete, relied on their rotation, and they took a chance. The thing with the Yankees is, Brad, and you know this, that if they swing and miss with Tanaka, it's not going to kill them. Yeah. They can still go out next year and do something again. You know, a team like the Diamondbacks, a team like the Royals, a team like the Pirates, if they were to swing and miss on a guy like Tanaka, that could set them back for 5 to 8 years.
Oh, there's no question. And I felt all along that, look, guys, this is not a sure thing if he comes here. And your one line drive or one pulled groin, something away from being in a hole that you'll never, ever get out of here in Arizona. And we don't know if he's going to be Dice K or if he's going to be Yu Darvish. We don't know that. We think we do, but we just don't know.
Well, and in talking to a couple of scouts, you know, what they told me is, and then of course it's an inexact science. Who knows? He may come here and just kick ass, but yeah. What I was told is that he's more of a 2-3 type starter. And think about how many 2 or 3 starters are getting $155 million. Zach Greinke is getting it to be a number 2 in L.A., but Zach Greinke is a number 1. He is not a number 2. The Dodgers, they can afford to do that. But if you're paying $155 million to a number 3 starter, you are in big, big trouble.
And on the Diamondbacks end of things, let's say it's Corbin or Miley as time goes by and years goes by. This is assuming Tanaka comes here and doesn't light it up. And let's assume those two continue their upward trajectory, Pedro. At some point, you're going to have to pay big money to guys, and you're already going to have big money tied up. In Arizona, I don't think you can tie up 2 or 3 big contracts like you used to.
No, you can't do that in a lot of markets. There's only a handful of markets where you can do that. Boston, New York, L.A., certainly, maybe San Francisco. You know, St. Louis, to a degree, can also because they just have such a rabid fan base that fills the park on a nightly basis. They have a great market that they do a very good job on. Even though they're not a large market, they can kind of play in a large market. You've got Detroit right now where, you know, you've got an aging owner who wants to go for it, and he is not as worried about the bottom line as maybe as probably he should be, but he's got the money to do it, so it's okay. But there's a lot of markets. The majority of the markets, you cannot tie up that kind of money. And certainly Arizona does fall into that category.
But I do think, and we're talking with Pedro Gomez, I do think, Pedro, that this speaks well of Ken Kendrick and the organization in that they talked for years about how they had inherited all this debt from Jerry's run and that they couldn't do anything, that their hands were tied. And we have to build through the system. And I was pounding my fist last year saying, okay, enough of this building through the system because those numbers are now off your books. Go do something. At least they tried. A year ago, I was saying, go get Cliff Lee. Go get a top of the rotation guy. They decided this year to go after a 25-year-old. Moving forward, I think the big mistake would be, and some fans want to see this, I've seen on social media today, well, just go after Garza, or just go after Jimenez, or just go after Arroyo, and tie up 3 years in a guy that's just, in my opinion, a guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's a three-type starter. And
right.
A guy that has not shown over the course of his 6, 7, 8 years in the big leagues that he is capable of being that top end of the rotation guy. Yeah, there's flashes of it, but not on a consistent basis. You know, you don't know. Maybe they will go after a Garza or an Arroyo, but I'm kind of in line with you on this one, Brad, that I don't know that that is the cure-all for what this club needs.
Well, and I think sit on that money, start your season out. Don't go throw $100 million at Irvin Santana if that's what his guys are looking for. Are you kidding me?
No, but you know what? Let's be honest. If it gets to be June and the Phillies are floundering, well, maybe a guy like Cliff Lee is available.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not out of the question. You know, the Phillies, you look at the way their roster is built, in a division where Washington and Atlanta seem to be the top two clubs, it's not unrealistic to see Philly get off to a bad start and maybe try to save some money on getting rid of a guy like Cliff Lee. He's certainly a more attractive option at that point than you know, some of the names that you mentioned.
Because I think free agency a year from now, there's going to be those organizations that are going to be looking to dump those players by
it
May
happens every year, doesn't it?
Every year. There's going to be guys that are sitting there in May and June that are in the last year of their deal. And look, I look at the Diamondbacks and I think they're a wild card team. They're not there with the Dodgers. Let's not all kid ourselves on this one. And yeah, there's going to be pressure on Gibby to get off to a good start this year. Let's not kid ourselves on that one either. But I do think there's enough there that they're going to be, if they can get through the first 6 to 8 weeks and be there by June 1st in a competitive nature, that they'll be in a good spot. They're willing to throw $100 million at Tanaka in January. What could they throw at other players down the road? I think this was a good sign for the organization.
Well, it certainly bodes well. It may also be a one-time type guy that they would throw that kind of money at.
Perhaps.
I don't know that they're going to be willing to throw that kind of money at other players. I mean, we know that if Arizona had been able to land a guy like Tanaka, you certainly could see the media bump that they would receive for quite some time. And, you know, we talked about this last time we talked about the global reach that a signing like that would have and the global push that it would have for the organization. I don't know that somebody else would be able to even come close to matching that. Irvin Santana certainly does not.
No.
So there may have been other aspects that made Tanaka very attractive for a club like the Diamondbacks that may not be there for another guy, say, 12 months from now.
It's a matter of trying to find that frontline starter, I guess, and that's where they're going. Where do you see them now, in your view, in the NL West?
Well, I mean, the Dodgers clearly are the front runners once again. I mean, but that should not come as a surprise to anybody. When your payroll is in excess of $220, $230 million, well, you got to figure that you've got some talent on that roster, and certainly locking up Clayton Kershaw to go with Zach Greinke, to go with Hyunjin Ryu, to go with Dan Heron, and possibly Josh Beckett's comeback. I mean, that's a five-man rotation that is going to be very, very difficult to beat on a consistent basis. And, you know, then you throw in the four outfielders they have, Adrian Gonzalez as well. And, you know, it's a club that top to bottom is pretty well stacked.
Yeah, yeah.
The Giants probably will be able to rebound a little bit, although their offense, you know, you still have to wonder how they're going to score runs on a consistent basis. And then, you know, the Rockies are probably still not nearly where they need to be. And the Padres are getting better. I will say that about the Padres. And they could be the surprise team.
There's some buzz about them. You're right about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. They could absolutely be the surprise team in the division. But you look at the Diamondbacks and hoping for second place is probably the best that they can do, and hoping to get one of the wild card spots. But you know you've got to win probably at least 90 91 games or so to get one of those wild card spots now, and that's not going to be easy.
No. You have time off now before you go to spring training? What are you doing?
A little bit. I mean, I've got an assignment coming up right after the Super Bowl, National Signing Day. I usually do one of those. Last year was Texas A&M. The year before was Penn State. I haven't been told yet which one, but this weekend I'll be in Inglewood. I'm taking my wife to the Eagles. Not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Get out of here. That is good. That's the assignment that matters. I mean, they could send you to go do signing day at Samford University, but if you're going to see the Eagles in Inglewood, you're living large, my friend.
That's good. So that'll be a fun time. That's one of her favorite bands, and it's her birthday present. So we're not staying in Inglewood, surprisingly.
Yeah. Do you sing Hotel California or anything?
Apparently, they made the top of the Forum into like a big album with Hotel California on it for these 2 weekends.
I can see you there right now. It's dark shades. You're just kind of grooving back and forth. So stay well. Appreciate the time as always.
Brad, always a pleasure. Take care.
Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, Valley resident. So Tanaka put it to bed. Not happening. But I'm not let down. Do I seem deflated on this one, Eric? Because I was so geeked for about the last 6 weeks. Every day I'm calling.
It's kind of like going to the horse races, and you're not betting the extreme long shot,
yeah,
but you're like in that, yeah, what was it, 10-1 range where it could happen, just not likely. And I don't think anyone was really shocked when he landed with the Yankees or the Dodgers. I don't know if the Cubs were really, that was like the,
if he had gone to
that
the
was
Cubs,
the people's choice, but no, I don't know how serious
well,
that was.
These Cubs fans just live in pain anyways. I mean, they don't. He'd go to the Cubs and he'd slip off the mound and that'd be done.
True.
He'd be out.
People are like, you're never going to win in Chicago.
He and Bartman would do card shows together 10 years from now on what set the Cubs back again. If he had gone to the Cubs, I would be disappointed.
I would too.
Because it's like, are you kidding me? The Cubs blow.
I know.
The Cubs have blown forever. All you Cubs fans know that your team blows. Who's your team, Brad? I don't have a team. I don't care. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care.
A lot of people said he may go to a smaller, less intense media market and city, and so he goes to New York, of course.
That sounds
makes
good.
Sense,
it sounds
right?
good he's going to go to a smaller market, and then, hey, Masahiro, I just got $35 million more tacked onto the end of your check. What do you think about the stress of New York? There's probably going to be a town car that meets you and takes you. We'll teach you golf every fifth day you show up and do what you do. Oh, by the way, there's some veteran guys that are at the end of their career. You're not a threat. They'll mentor you. You can take that $35 million and have more than a postage-sized box to live in. Where do I sign?
Yeah, and plus,
really not that hard.
I don't know what Harold Reynolds said earlier in the show, the bite we played about how Ichiro's already there,
yeah,
and he can sort of be the mentor to Tanaka. Seems to make sense.
That sounds good. I mean,
sure,
the mentoring stuff
good.
The mentoring stuff always sounds good, but a lot of times it's just stuff that teams throw out there or people throw out there because it sounds good, but in reality it's like, I'm not helping that guy out. We've seen that. It's like when we hear quarterbacks, we all get along, we all work together, I'm just here to support, and then when the cameras are gone, it's like, the dude drives me crazy, I should be playing and he's not, my agent's not doing a good job, da 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 da. Sports. On the other side, so Arizona State football, this would be a huge boost to them if they're able to flip one of the top players in the state away from a Southeast Conference school. National Letter of Intent Day is 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away, and ASU and U of A are both scrambling. I think they both had pretty good classes, so I've got that to get into, some thoughts on that. The Suns game tonight is very interesting to me, and the Coyotes too. There's actually some stuff going on. I don't get all worked up and excited for a lot of regular season NBA games because a lot of nights guys can't play and the quality isn't good. Tonight is the exception. It's Indiana. I'll have more on that next. I'm Brad Sussmat. It's a good Wednesday. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Now also on AZ Central Sports, Monday through Friday. Doing our thing on White Mountain Radio. Always good to be on White Mountain Radio. On Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, if you want to get involved. Brad at Sports360AZ.com. If you want to bang me over the head, it's fine. Bring it on. It's cool. This segment of the show is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I drive the 2014 Ford Fusion right now. And last night I went to my daughter's high school soccer game. It was over in Chandler. And we went out to dinner a little bit early and stopped by to get something to drink. And as I walked into the convenience store, a couple of people came out and said, that is one cool looking car. And then I went over to Chandler High School, parked, got out. A couple of the administrators saw me. Hey, Brad, that is a cool-looking car. How do you fit in it? Yeah, I'm 6'8". It's easy for me to get in there and adjust the seat. This morning, I drive up, make my drive up to our Skyview Studios here in Scottsdale. And I'm in comfort. I'm in style. I'm in luxury. I'm getting work done as I'm going along, hands-free, of course. Getting up to speed on what we're doing on the show as news is breaking, making calls. What about you? Is a vehicle you're in convenient for you? Are you getting the gas mileage you want? Do you fit in it? Do you feel comfortable? Do you get out there and say, oh man, here I am in this thing again? Stop on into Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, big sports fans. Tim's a big supporter. Santan Ford supports many of the pro sports and college sports here in the Valley and in the state. Stop on in. You'll see the difference for yourself at Santan Ford, santanford.com, Santan Ford, just off the 202 in Val Vista. The Santan Ford folks, it's all about you. So National Letter of Intent Day is 2 weeks away. Arizona State football. Eric, last time we had talked, what are they? Were there like three? I think it was three in-state recruits that they had total, and I had fans saying, why aren't they not getting more? Quaylen Cunningham, who's over at Hamilton High School.
One of the best.
A destructive force. I saw Quaylen Cunningham get five sacks in a quarter and a half in a playoff game this year. I was on the sidelines just out there bumping around on a Friday night.
A lot of guys, Brad, you see in high school without the pads on, and you're like, yeah, he's going to be really good when he's a redshirt junior.
Yeah.
He's not the case. The guy is a man, well, to say the least, physically.
If you look at and last Friday night, I was out with a friend, and we just said, hey, let's go get something to eat. And we're right by Hamilton High. Let's bounce over there and see Hamilton Basha play a basketball game. Here's one of the cool things I like in the Valley. The head football coach at Hamilton, Steve Bellis, there are some that really like him and there's some that really don't like him. And a lot of it is jealousy of success. And that's just the way it is in high school and even in college and it's pros to a certain extent, but in the high school level. I walk in and there's Steve. He is the scoreboard operator at Hamilton High School for their basketball games. As long as I've known him, he's been the scoreboard operator, not just the varsity game, the JV game. He sits there and does his thing. Their basketball coach, Kevin Hartwig, from my understanding, does the same thing for football. I think it's kind of cool that the coaches say, you know what, I want to be around the kids. Afterwards, we go get something, and my friend and I were sitting in a booth, and in walks Steve. We invite him over, and we sit and talk for almost an hour, just about stuff, high school, college, things. And I brought up the notion of these high school kids leaving Arizona to go away because they think it's really cool to go to the Southeast Conference, or it's really cool to go to Texas A&M or whatever. And Steve just hearing me, and he's not saying anything, and I'm on my roll here about, give me a guy that goes away to an SEC school from Arizona. I mean, there's guys that have gone to Michigan and UCLA and Oregon and all that, but guys that say, I'm going to go to the SEC and I'm going to knock it dead. How many of those have worked out from Arizona? I can't think of many.
Well, one of the biggest, Christian Westerman, is back at ASU, went to Auburn, and then decided to come home, so...
And he's going to do well, I think.
Very well.
I think he's going to do well for ASU on their offensive line next year. If you're Quaylen Cunningham, if you're Texas A&M, can't you just go to one of, 500 high schools in Texas and find a great-looking athletic specimen who wreaks havoc on the defensive front?
No question. They're all over in Texas.
If you're Kyle Allen, aren't there 50 quarterbacks in Texas that are going to look at you and – and high school coaches are going to say, why did you take a guy from Arizona and not take my guy? This is my perception. This wasn't Steve's while we were discussing it. But I did bring up Quaylen Cunningham. And, you know, Steve just said he's a terrific player and he's a wrecking ball and da-da-da. Yeah, Jackson Hood, a former Hamilton Husky, is one of the few defensive players left on the Arizona State side of the ball. That's got to be a recruiting advantage. One of Quaylen Cunningham's teammates, Santana Sterling, is going to gray shirt. They're a very close-knit group over there at Hamilton High. I think that if ASU is able to land him, by my view, that would be a dramatic DJ Foster-like addition on the defensive side of the football for Todd Graham. And he needs it. And I think he needs to have the schools like Hamilton get their players to go to Arizona State. It's like Cameron Denson, this wide receiver down at South Point that's going to U of A. That's an enormous get. From everything I'm hearing, Cameron Denson in 2 weeks is the best player in the state this year.
Yeah, he's a lights-out dynamic playmaker.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and he's going to play for Rich Rod. I like the fact that both ASU and U of A are able to grab some players. I just would like to see them grab more than a couple to keep them in state. Because, look, closing the borders is more entertaining for us as fans of the sport, and it's better for the schools. It's better for the schools to keep these kids in state. If Christian Kirk, who's the kid that everybody's talking about a year from now, is going to blow up and be bigger than life, if he leaves the state and goes off to UCLA or wherever he decides to go to, it's a blow to ASU and U of A. No matter how they spin it, they'll give me the, well, we never had a shot. There was this going on, that going on. It only takes a couple to keep here. And then you start having a little bit of momentum. Have they really captured the momentum since getting DJ Foster to stay here? I don't know that. I don't know that. So I'm really looking forward to National Letter of Intent Day. It's coming up. Tonight, the Suns play the Indiana Pacers. It's not often that I get into a Suns regular season game, especially when they're in full-blown rebuilding mode. But I do like the fact that they're having to scrap and scuffle without having Bledsoe on the floor, and somehow they've been able to keep their heads above water. You know, I don't know when Bledsoe's going to come back. I don't want him to come back if he's 85 or 90% to try to help them make a playoff run. What is the point in that? There is no point in that. They're 23-17. If they finish at around 41 to 42 wins, they're going to get in the postseason. The West is much deeper than the East. Indiana comes here tonight. Indiana may be playing in the finals. They're a play or two away from knocking off Miami last year. They're that good of a team. The Pacers have won 13 of 15. Paul George is an MVP candidate that you've never, ever heard about. Many of you are like, Paul George? Yeah, so what? Paul George is as good a player. If he weren't playing in Indiana, if he weren't on the Pacers, if he were with the Knicks or if he were with the Lakers, you'd be all over Paul George. He's worth the price of admission tonight. I love watching Roy Hibbert inside. I love big shot blockers. There's not many of them left. There's not many big men that can play. A lot of big stiffs in the NBA. Not many big men that can play. And then you have the whole Sun side of it. This, you know, the Plumlee Green trade, it's worked out pretty well for them. I didn't want to see Scola go, but I understood what was going on. I like the direction that they're heading. So tonight is one of those games. And you have the Coyotes tonight, too, playing at Calgary. It's a division rivalry game. The Coyotes have been up and down, to say the least. I haven't sensed that there is this overwhelming belief that they're heading in the right direction. So I think both teams tonight, there's some good things going on here. And then, of course, tomorrow we have the college basketball to get into with number one U of A back in action. Sports360AZ.com, that is our site. You can check it out. All sorts of content, high school, college, pros. You have a story you want to submit. You have a story idea. That's always great, too. We take those. Just shoot it to me, Brad, at sports360az.com. You can see blogs, unique content you're not going to find anywhere else. And we appreciate being a part of azcentral.com. We provide content to them, and it's great that they have us on their site. Also, on White Mountain Radio, great to be on White Mountain Radio. You can reach me and beat up on me on Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And we're on Facebook as well. Have a great Wednesday.